KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes, presenting Scene on Screen with Jacqueline Coley, a brand new podcast about the people at NBC Universal and the movies that define them. Available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
From KCRW in Santa Monica, this is The Treatment.
Welcome to The Treatment. I'm Elvis Mitchell. You can also hear the show at KCRW.com. Now, we all know director Edgar Wright from his films Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz, but if you want to see where the seeds of those movies were shown, you should take a look at the incredible series Spaced, which had a what we would call here a two-season run on British television in the late 90s and the early part of the 21st century, and has now been collected finally on DVD that we can play here in what we like to call Region 1. Because it's the best region for DVDs. Edgar is here with us. Edgar, first of all, thanks again for coming back to do the show.
Hey, no worries. Thanks for having me.
And the other thing about this show is that it makes more pop culture references than we've made in the history of The Treatment. So that's no small feat as well.
That's funny. I think sort of that's something that is really ingrained in the characters. And the thing that why the TV show that me and Simon and Jessica did that was very personal to us is it did feel more than even the films we've done, like an extension of ourselves. And it's definitely a thing growing up on a certain type of pop culture, be it video games, TV, music, films, that becomes your only way of communicating after a while.
But it's also fascinating, too, in that the show, and I wonder how much this relates to a kind of a British thing, is that It does, by no means, it go out of its way to try to explain anything at all. I mean, either you get the references or you don't, but there's no glossary. And if you plug into everything, it's great. But I just wonder, when you talk to people who don't get the references, what their feeling is about the show.
You know, we tried to make it that if you hadn't seen a particular film or TV show, it wasn't going to stop your enjoyment of the show, and that we tried to have a rule, which sometimes maybe we even broke within the two seasons, that, you know, something should be funny in its own right. And if you get the reference, great. And if you don't, it's not a big deal. And we always felt that was something that The Simpsons had done very well. And The Simpsons has incredibly esoteric references, but it's not like six-year-olds don't enjoy that show, you know. I think where it maybe started to backfire and what we were conscious of with the films is that Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz, as people would say, oh, I'm sure there's lots of stuff that I'm missing. And so with the films, we kind of went the other way to make sure that there was nothing that anybody was missing and that, you know, the references were less kind of, they were less direct and more just about the general theme of the films. But in Spaced, you know, it is a bit more on the nose and almost in a way like the whole show is kind of heightened as if it's the show that the characters wish could be made out of their lives rather than the mundane reality, if that makes any sense.
No, it does. But the other thing that fits into for me, too, is the kind of snobbery of people in that age group who feel like if you don't get the references, so what anyway?
I guess so. It's not so much that you don't care what other people think. You don't really think about that at all. You know, it's you just assume that everybody is on your wavelength. And I think that's definitely something, you know, of a certain type of youth, that you assume that everybody has grown up on the same TV programs and you assume that everybody knows the same commercials and you don't think to kind of really stop to point things out. You know, I think that's definitely maybe something that's just kind of like keyed in with being that age. I don't know. I don't know whether it's the same now. I always find it funny when I see there's those films like which I always tend to watch on planes, Meet the Spartans and Epic Movie, and they actually, I think there was one that I watched on a plane, and every time there was a reference to something, they said what it was. So if they had like a baby Shrek, somebody would say, oh, look, it's Shrek. Or if some Simon Cowell came on and say, hey, look, it's Simon Cowell and Randy Jackson and Paula Abdul from that show American Idol. As if nobody would get it, like one of the most successful shows on like American TV. So I'd much rather be oblique about things than have to underline everything in red.
By the way, we're talking to Edgar Wright. He directed the series Spaced, which is now having its officially available on DVD in the United States. I should ask you to explain for the audience what Space is about, to give them a brief kind of précis of what the show is.
Well, it's a show that it ostensibly starts with two young people who are It starts off like an apartment share, or as we would call it in the UK, a flat share sitcom. And it's about two young sort of 20-somethings, both kind of post-college, both trying to figure out what to do in their career and their life. One's an aspiring graphic artist, the other one's an aspiring writer. Neither of them are getting a lot done work-wise. And they find each other whilst they're both looking for an apartment, and they pretend to be a professional couple to get the apartment. Now, that is like a sort of Three's Company-style setup, which only really kind of has any real bearing on the first episode and a half, and it very quickly goes into a sitcom, which is just about the life of these 20-somethings and their circle of friends and their landlady, and they... It's in a very mundane setting. They're sort of both kind of a lower income bracket and don't have a lot of money, which you can tell by the fact that there's very few costume changes throughout the entire two seasons. Simon is always wearing the same jacket, which you would never catch between two different scenes in Friends.
We should say, too, that the actors are Simon Pegg and Jessica Stevenson, and it really sort of began your working relationship with Simon.
Yeah. Well, I'd worked with Simon Pegg before, and Jessica Stevenson, who's now Jessica Hines, actually. We did a show before, which is how I got involved with the space, was that we did a show on the cable channel called Asylum, which is
a sketch show. But the thing that's fascinating too about space to me is that a lot of it is really kind of incredibly claustrophobic. I mean, it's these people in these rooms with kind of nowhere to go, and in that way, it kind of reminds me of stuff like Coronation Street and EastEnders, that where people just be sitting in rooms and not outside, just kind of talking.
I think that's pretty much British TV, full stop. Well, I think in a way, I think that's actually that aspect of it, the fact that they're in this flat and you know the place that they're staying in isn't particularly kind of great. It's very we very deliberately tried to make their apartment seem very mundane, and I think that really helps the flights of fancy, whether there's like dream or fantasy sequences or things that are really happening. Or I tended to direct the entire show in this very heightened style, so it would feel like it would have the elements of kind of genre films within like a small screen sitcom. It definitely isn't shot like something like Friends at all.
Well, it's a great too, because it's a show that really depends on acting, and you say sitcom, but it doesn't have that dependency on jokes. I mean, all the humor comes out of the characters. It's not just people spinning off one-liners. And I wonder, because you told me, we did an event together recently for the show, that you had access to the scripts 18 months before you started to shoot. And if that was one of the things that struck you, that, in fact, you want to find a way to direct that would make you find a way to fulfill the character stuff that was in the show, because it wasn't dependent on jokes and gags for the most part.
Yeah, it was it's pretty unusual with TV for a director to be attached that early, and that was because me and Simon and Jess had worked together before. And that whilst they'd been doing the very first drafts of the show, they'd already tapped me to sort of direct it. And that was great, because I think all three of us, none of us had, we'd all done TV before, even though we were very young. I was 24 when I did that show, and I'd already been working since I was 21, which is pretty crazy in retrospect. But the thing with this was that we had the time to think about it, but also we didn't really know what we were doing. We're very sort of young and naive, and in that strange way, when you're that age and it's your first thing, you're incredibly ambitious because you don't really know the limitations. Like, you can break the rules without knowing what the rules are. So I think we pretty much kind of made the show not knowing beyond kind of money and time, like actual like physical, like this is how much time we have to shoot today. We can't afford this. How can we do it differently? But aside from that, there didn't seem like there were any real like limitations. And so it when I look back at it I'm always very taken aback with what we managed to achieve in the time.
We're talking to Edgar Wright. He directed the series Space. One of the things that really strikes me about that, though, is how expressive the dialogue is for each character. I mean, we're talking about being character comedy, but you really get a sense of these people from that. And you find a way to introduce the characters. And there are more entrances in this show. I mean, that's one of the fun things about it for me is everybody gets an entrance in every episode almost. And I wonder that was a way for you to give the show more energy, a bit more brio than we would normally find in, as you mentioned, those British shows where people just sit around talking.
Yeah, I think we were very lucky in that the bulk of the cast, we'd either worked together before or they were, you know, friends of ours, and some of them were writer-performers or, you know, had the ability to write as well. So, you know, there was a sort of a slight lightning in the bottle aspect to the cast coming together in the way that they did. Even Mark Heap, who plays the tortured artist who lives downstairs, Brian, was a last-minute replacement for another actor. And Simon had worked with him before, and he managed in a very short time to completely make the character his own to the point where we rewrote it for him whilst we were rehearsing the show. So, you know, there were things that came together kind of that late that are so, you know, sort of crucial to the sort of the dynamic of the show. But I think that's and it's something that I tried to do in the two films since, is that film comedy doesn't usually have any rehearsal time at all. People don't tend to do rehearsals for films. And having done Space and done proper rehearsals, I kind of insisted on Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz that we did rehearsals with all the actors, because it's a time when you can totally nail the tone of something and work out all those little, you know, discussions that you would have on set and lose time. So we would kind of get everything up to speed in a rehearsal room so that when we were shooting, we could go really fast and get more stuff done, get more angles done.
But you must have found yourself inventing ways to sort of give the show energy, like what I think was being the Edgar Pan, the whip pan. You sort of began that on Spaced, didn't you?
Yeah, I had weirdly done that even before that on Asylum. And, you know, obviously I do a lot of editing and my style is very kind of heavy on the sort of the editing, but also there's an element where things are in camera that the end of the scene is in that whip pan and that's it. There's no other like coverage. It's like that's the end line, that's the camera move, that's the end of the scene. And then the next scene starts with dead on something else. Now, you see sometimes when people do whip pans in TV and stuff since that they're usually done in post and they're usually kind of just edited in, but we used to do them all in camera. In a strange way, when you hear about kind of, you know, the old sort of studio contract directors like Howard Hawks and Michael Curtis, how they would shoot things in such a way that they couldn't be edited in any other way. And in a strange way, me doing those pans is my way of doing that. So it's like this is the only way it can go together, because that is the end of the scene. No, there's nothing else at the end of that scene, because it the camera whizzes off.
And I'm glad you mentioned the ambition, because there's like this kind of ambition that these characters have, and also that ambition of youth that in its way becomes the theme for the show as well. And obviously that's because you guys were basically the age of the people you were working on, the age of your creations as you were shooting it.
I think that's absolutely true, and I think that's one of the reasons that we never did a third season. It's one of the reasons that some of us, you know, kind of are not sure about the idea of doing a feature adaptation. The reason why all of us were against the idea of a remake, especially an American remake, because when we're riffing on American pop culture, specifically films, and we're doing it in a TV show that is set in a very nondescript suburb of London, you know, that looks very grey and very boring and very dull, you know, acting out scenes from John Woo films and, you know, doing Evil Dead-style camera work, there's an aspirational quality to it, there's an ambitious quality to it. When that gets kind of bigger on a production scale or on the big screen, that element is completely lost, and I think that element is really intrinsic to the show.
We will take a break. It's The Treatment. My guest is director Edgar Wright. We're talking about the series Spaced. More to come. Stay with us.
You're listening to The Treatment with Elvis Mitchell from the studios of KCRW Santa Monica.
Welcome back. It's The Treatment, which you can also hear at kcrw.com. We're talking about the amazing series Spaced, the British comedy, which had two seasons of seven episodes in the late 90s and early part of the 21st century. Its director, Edgar Wright, is here with us. And it's now available, I should say, on DVD in the United States. You mentioned before the break the idea of a U.S. remake, which I wanted to ask you about because you must have had offers. And the show preceded The Office. So with the success of The Office here, and although I think it's been weirdly kind of distended by having been run so long, at least that's my feeling about it, that must be a fear of yours too, that if it were done for America, it'd be more episodes of one season here than it would be for the entirety of the run, that would kind of take a lot of the energy and the power out of the show.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, we've actually had two different attempts to remake the show. There was one recently that was kind of quite upsetting for the three of us because they basically bought the rights to the show and kind of went ahead and made a pilot without bothering to consult us at all, which was deeply upsetting. But it's all done now. I don't think the show got kind of picked up. So it was
it done for a network or for cable?
That was for Fox. Yeah, that was for a network. The ironic thing about this was this happened in the last kind of 6 months, and you know, it's been fairly well documented on the internet with our issues with it. But now that's kind of like, it seems like it's all in the past, so we're sort of to move on from that. But the irony was that 8 years ago, I think the same network, Granada USA for Fox, wanted to remake Spaced, and this was before we'd shot the second series. Back then, when we had less profile, when we hadn't made any films, the executives flew over to London to meet us. Flew up to London to meet me, Simon, Jess, Naira Park, the producer. And then also I met them again when I was in LA. And there was one moment where they were very, you know, sort of positive about the show and very excited about the prospect of doing a remake. I wasn't entirely sure even back then. But then there was one moment where we had a talk about the difference between content of what you could do on an American network show and what you could do on an English network show, British network show. And I remember vividly that they said, well, obviously, we'd have to change a lot of the content. We'd have to change the language, take out the drug use, the violence, and also the character of Mike can't have any guns because in America, guns are frowned upon. I quote. So it was at that point that I thought, maybe this isn't going to work. Because to be honest, when you take out the drugs, the language, the content, the violence, the guns, what you're left with is Three's Company. There was, Three's Company is actually a remake of a British show, Man About the House.
Yes, in those halcyon days in the 70s when we were doing all those British shows here.
Sanford and Son, All in the Family. It, weirdly, in the UK in the 80s, it went back the other way. There was a UK remake of Who's the Boss called The Upper Hand. Much posher title. I love the fact it's called Who's the Boss? And then the English title is The Upper Hand.
Maybe at some point during the show you can explain Dad's Army to me.
I can imagine that not playing in the States somehow.
No, it plays very well, unfortunately. If you go to, if you pardon the expression, almost any public television station, there's a run of Dad's Army and all those British department store.
Oh, well, that's... There's a world between Dad's Army and Are You Being Served. I find it fascinating that people like... Are You Being Served over here? I also find it fascinating that up until recently, and I think things have changed actually in the last couple of years, and with things like, say, the Space DVD being out in the US is like a big deal. I think DVDs and cable and the internet have changed everything in the last couple of years, and that's why I think something like The Office and Ali G were able to break through in a way that previously British shows had never done.
We were talking to Edgar Wright. He directed the series Spaced, which is now officially available on DVD in the United States. One of the things about Spaced, and we've talked about this a bit before, is there's also a big emotional core to it, which is not played for sentimentality in the way that American sitcoms trying to make the big emotional moments really kind of sentimental, and they feel kind of cheapened. I mean, there's an honest emotionality, be it in the episode where Brian has to sort out his feelings about a former lover and artist that he's jealous about, or just the way the relationship works out between your two leads. There is, again, a kind of honest emotion, and I wonder how you arrived at the ability to shoot it and not make it feel kind of cheap or overly sentimental.
The only way I can answer that is that it's genuinely heartfelt from all three of us. I think the thing is that's different about Spaced is that the six main characters are all very likable. A lot of British comedies are about grotesques, and a lot of British performers who become bigger, playing people who are nasty pieces of work. David Brent in The Office, Blackadder, Rowan Atkinson's Blackadder, Alan Partridge, Steve Coogan. I think the difference with Space is I think all of the main characters are very likable and sympathetic, and I think that's where the, you know, the sort of the heartfelt kind of aspect of it really scores, is that, you know, they really mean it because they really like these characters, and they, you know, and a lot of them are based on real people. There's elements of the lead performers in their characters, and other characters are based on kind of friends and stuff, so that all factors in.
And I think that's where the real identification comes into it. People kind of recognize that that's kind of free-floating sense of ambition that sometimes you're not able to realize. And you're sort of almost like feel like you're stranded on an island with other people who feel the same way and don't see a way out.
Yeah, I think that's very true. I mean, it's something that, like, it changed as the series went on. And, one, you know, we didn't do a third season at the time. And one of the reasons I kind of feel is that sort of like our lives were changing, and that if we, the longer we'd have gone on doing those shows, the more we would have been charlatans in the sense that we weren't those characters anymore. When we did the first season, certainly we absolutely were those people. Like I lived in an apartment that wasn't that dissimilar from the one in Spaced. It was even my PlayStation console that they play in the show. I brought it from home. And in fact, very symbolically, I left it on the set. At the end of the second season, my PlayStation console stayed on the set because I kind of wanted to get out of the house because it was like a Ouija board of time suck. And I just didn't want to lose any more days to Resident Evil 3.
So you were forced to buy a PlayStation 2 to make up for it?
You know what? I genuinely have never had a console since. I've got two in boxes that I have never opened. I tend to play games when I go around to my brother's house, but I just, there's a couple of years that I want back, that's all. I think I probably could have made another couple of films, even in my young career, if I'd have not played so many games when I was younger. So,
talking to Edgar Wright, he's the director of Space, which is finally available in the United States on DVD. It's The Treatment, which you can also hear at kcrw.com. But as we talk about this, I'm thinking about that great line that I once read, that Paul Schrader said that he and Martin Scorsese and Robert De Niro thought about Taxi Driver as being the film of their 20s. And they looked forward to doing the film, what would be the film of their 30s, which turned out to be Raging Bull. Now, I wonder if you thought about Spaced in terms of making it about you all being in your 30s and the different kind of experience you bring to that. Because you're right, you're not those people that you were when you guys did the first series. But to some extent, you know, they've got to be, you're still the same people.
Well, it's interesting because there's a couple of factors to that. Is that I always thought of Shaun of the Dead as being, Shaun of the Dead is literally, the theme of the film is about a character about to turn 30. And I was about to turn 30 when we did that. I had my 30th birthday 2 weeks after Shaun of the Dead opened. And in that, the character is 29 and is approaching 30. And weirdly, even though we were sort of had successes with the show, like the period after Space and before Shaun of the Dead got made was an extremely frustrating period of like 3 years of not really knowing whether the film was going to happen, and, you know, kind of turning down TV work and other opportunities. And I think some of that desperation factors into the film, you know, because again, like we're shooting it on our doorstep. We tried in a way, like with the two films we've done so far, Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz, to kind of get older with the characters, that Nicholas Angel is older than Shaun. And we've got an idea for a third film, which would be even more about kind of being older and trying to recapture your youth. With Spaced, you know, we frequently kind of never say never when people ask us about a third season. I mean, I have my worries about doing more for that very reason of it. There's something about it being preserved in aspic at the end of the second season forever, you know, that they're that age and that they never get old. But then, you know, I see something like Richard Linklater's Before Sunset, and I just found that film amazing. It was almost like the Michael Apted 7-Up series. It was like, oh my God, you know, I could watch this every 10 years. In fact, I look forward to seeing another, you know, Before Sunset film in 10 years' time. It was incredible to kind of return to something after a decade and see the wear and tear on the actors' faces and see the lines, and those lines tell a million stories. It was incredible.
Both of the films, Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead, are in their way about losing your home, about being taken away from your comfort zone, whereas space was very much about being sort of stranded in your comfort zone and not being able to get out of it. And I wondered if you saw the films as a way to sort of get out of that thing, partially because you can actually go outside and take advantage of light and that kind of thing with movies in a way you couldn't with your limited budgets on the show, obviously. But it's in the way that space was kind of rebellion against the conformity of sitcoms, the movies were a way to kind of break away from TV too, weren't they?
I think so, yeah. And it's interesting, all the show and the two films all have a theme of like ambition to them. Tim and Daisy have ambitions that they can't quite get it together. You know, sort of Sean has his ambitions have long since dissipated, and it takes the sort of a invasion of zombies to kind of get him to sit up and take notice. And Nicholas Angel is completely hamstrung by, you know, his superiors in terms of his ambitions and how good he wants to be. So it's kind of like, there's definitely like looking at it now I feel like I'm on the couch now, Elvis. Now there is like a sort of a theme of frustration that goes through all four things. A theme that's in space a lot. In fact, it's into Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz. It's in, again, in all three of them, is this thing is even if you're young, there's always somebody younger and cooler than you are. There's a lot of funny scenes in Spaced where there's a party upstairs by Marsha's daughter. The party upstairs is louder and sounds more fun than their one. Then there's a later episode where, you know, we start kind of subverting the pop culture references. Like they run into this 15-year-old hoodlum who's very scary in one of my favorite episodes in the second season. And Simon's trying to kind of connect with him by referencing this old commercial. And the 15-year-old doesn't know what he's talking about and assumes he's making some kind of strange, you know, slur against him. That was a really nice thing to kind of subvert what you were saying about earlier about whether if you make a reference, whether you care if the other person gets it or not. In this particular instance, it gets them into a lot of trouble. So I like that aspect. And then in Sean, there was he's 29, but one of his kind of juniors is 17. And he has that line when he says, Sean says to Noel in the shop, in the electrical store, says, you know, I've got things I want to do with my life. And the other guy goes, when? Which is pretty much kind of sums it up. And then Nicholas Angel, again, has problems with his kind of younger sort of colleagues and underage drinkers. And this new idea we got for a third film is the entire theme is about that, is about should you try and go back and recapture your youth? Should you try and do something that you did when you were a teenager? Should you try and recapture former glories? And the answer is no.
Well, then we'll leave it there, and I'll have to ask you to come back when you get that film done. Will you do that?
Yeah, absolutely. It might be a few years.
That might work. Maybe next time I can introduce you to more of the pleasures of Red Velvet Cake. My guest is director Edgar Wright. His series Space is finally available on US DVD. Again, Edgar, thanks so much for doing this.
Thanks for having me, and enjoy the show if you watch it.
Our recording engineer at KCRW in Santa Monica is Mario Diaz, with assistance from Steve Harwood at Carnegie Recording Studios. Bob Carlson is the editor. Gemma Dempsey is the producer. I'm Spaced. I'm Elvis Mitchell. It's The Treatment.
An audio archive of this and other programs can be found at kcrw.com. For questions and comments about The Treatment, please email us at thetreatment@kcrw.com. The Treatment is produced and distributed by KCRW Santa Monica.
KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes, presenting Scene on Screen with Jacqueline Coley, a brand new podcast about the people at NBC Universal and the movies that define them. Available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.